This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. A year ago, a few dozen Phelps County residents met at Public House Brewing Company in Rolla. They gathered to share their thoughts about the U.S. Immigration and Customs detainment of hundreds of people at the Phelps County Jail. That meeting led to the creation of Abide in Love, an organization that has helped provide direct support to scores of people detained by ICE and detainees' spouses and children. Today, the nonprofit has grown across Missouri and spread to Oklahoma. STLPR Rolla correspondent and newscast editor Jonathan All is here to fill us in with some more details. Jonathan, great to have you on the show again.
Pleasure to be here.
So Jonathan, remind us of Abide in Love's mission and who they are.
Well, they're a group of people from all walks of life. At least the original group in Rolla was made up of Phelps County residents, and they are people from all sorts of different faith traditions and walks of life. That the one thing they had in common is that when they learned that ICE detainees were being held in the Phelps County Jail, and that someone who was in ICE detention died in Phelps County Jail, that they felt compelled to act. And they didn't know quite what to do, but they put together their brains and their hearts, and they decided that what they were going to do was help the people who were in detention and their families as much as they possibly could. Their principles are those of Martin Luther King Jr., and they were motivated by those six principles, and they got together and figured out what can we do, and they went from there.
So they've been working together for a year. What have they accomplished in that time?
They've accomplished hundreds of small things that have helped so many people. What they have done is, one of the most basic things they've done is they have helped people who are in ICE detention communicate with their families. And, when you get detained by ICE, you don't know where you're going. You've been to a place, they take you to a place you've never been before. You don't know how to communicate with other people. So Abide in Love, that was like the first big thing they did, is help people connect with their families to say, I'm here, this is what's going on, because the system doesn't necessarily provide for those things. Mm-hmm. So that was the base thing. Then they started doing things like making sure that basic needs were getting met. And that could be everything from clean underwear, snacks, to more important things like medication. And they were helping people who were in detention get those needs met, but also helping the people, the family members who are outside, do things like coordinate visits, trying to connect them with legal help, those kinds of things. So it was really, it started small and then kind of expanded rather broadly, quickly, to help everyone in those detainee circles.
Mm-hmm. And that help that they were offering was informed by, what they were hearing people needed. What was it that had them go sort of in the directions of the help that they were giving?
So there is an app that you can get that is how you communicate with people who are in jails. And so the Phelps County Jail also lists who is in the jail and why they're there. So you can get the Phelps County Jail app and look up and see who's there on an ICE hold. And then you can get the other app that you use to communicate with people who are in jail. And anybody can do that. You can say, hey, and they were introducing themselves and saying, I'm with Abide in Love. It's a group that's here to help. What do you need and what can you do? And those initial conversations where they honestly didn't know what to do, informed with what was needed and what they could do. And then the family members were saying, oh, there are people who are outside the jail that know my loved one is there and are trying to help. What is possible and what can we do to help? And that's how they were moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan, you attended a program that was put on by Abide in Love just last month, and it featured firsthand accounts of people who've been directly affected by immigration enforcement. One of those speakers was Denise Meyer, an English language teacher in Ozark, Missouri. she received a call one day from the mother of one of her kindergarten students.
On one day, this last October, Sophia's mom, who brought her here when Sophia was 4 months old, with hopes and dreams of giving her a future and giving her the ability to attain anything that she would want in her life. Those dreams came to a crashing halt by a traffic stop, and Sophia's mom called me frantic, and she said, "I don't know that I'm going to be able to leave this place right now." And so she said, "Sophia won't have anybody to get off of the bus for when she gets home." And I immediately knew, as Sophia sang, I couldn't go over it and I couldn't go under it, but I was going to go through it with them. And so in that moment, about 2 hours of turnover, I became a foster parent for the first time, and Sophia came to live with me for the duration of her mom's detainment.
Jonathan, what stood out to you hearing Denise's account?
There's a lot of love there, right? I mean, if you got a call from someone who said, "I'm going to be separated from my child. I don't know who to turn to, but I trust you to take care of them." First of all, what an amazing amount of trust there is. But also, really, I think everyone would have to decide, would you answer that call? Would someone who you knew at that level went to you for help, would you say yes? Would you go forward and say, "Yes, I will become a foster parent, something I've never done before, simply to make sure that this little girl is okay"? And I think that that is a story that kind of exemplifies everything that Abide and Love is about. Because while you know, Denise Meyer's story is very compelling, it is one of so many that are so similar. And that's what the Abide and Love movement has done so far, is develop those kinds of moments of great humanity to help people at their lowest points.
And Sophia and her mother had to trust Denise as well. It moves also in that direction.
Definitely. And there was definitely, I mean, there's a strong relationship there, but that is a different level.
Yes,
And it was as happy of an ending as you could have had in these situations. Sophia's mom was deported. Sophia is now with her. Mm-hmm. So they are a family and they are together. They are not living the dream that they were hoping to live here, but because of Denise and Abide and Love's help, at least they got through it.
Right. Now, the Abide and Love program you attended also featured the story of Carol Mayorga, a mother of three who has called Missouri home for 2 decades. Now, last year, she traveled to St. Louis for what she thought would be a routine meeting to renew her employment authorization document, and she was then detained by ICE and held in various rural Missouri jails. Carol's story gained national attention and drew outrage from her Kennett, Missouri neighbors. Here's Carol telling Abide and Love President Lucy Barrett what detention felt like.
"I'm scared. If I go to Hong Kong, I don't even can protect myself. How am I going to protect my children? I'm really scared. I don't even know what my future is going to be. Am I going to die in Hong Kong?
Yeah.
I feel really hopeless. I feel so sorry to my children. I bring them here and I don't even can protect them. And they were so scared. They would tell me every day, 'Mom, when you come home, Mom, you missed my middle school graduation. Mom, like, I'm so sorry, son. I don't know when I can come home.'"
Carol Mayorga was released from detention last June. Not everybody has that story, obviously. You know, what other stories did you hear from Abide and Love members about the first year of helping people who have stories like this, such a range of stories, being detained by ICE? You know, what did you hear from detainees' families?
There were so many stories, it's hard to pick one out, but I would say that one of the things that really kind of encapsulated the community that is built to try to solve problems, and it's not just the people in Abide and Love, but it's also the detainees. Like, one story that I heard was that when you are in ICE detention, if you are a woman on your period, you get 2 tampons a day, and that's not enough. But one of the things that happened was that the detainees were like, okay, what are we going to do? So if a woman got 2, but she was at the end and she had an extra one, they were finding places in the detainment center to hide tampons so that women they didn't know, women who were not yet even there, would have a supply to go to. And on one level, you're like overwhelmed with how that community to help people exists, but then you're also kind of overwhelmed with, why does it have to exist? Why do these conditions have to exist so that that level of selflessness and looking forward to helping someone you don't even know, why does that have to exist? And I think that's was wrapped up in the whole the celebration. And they called it a celebration, you know, even though these stories were all just devastating, that story after story that was presented that night in Rolla had that common thread running through it.
Mm-hmm. Abide and Love has been responding to current circumstances. Mm-hmm. They've been doing so in Missouri, but it has also spread to Oklahoma. What does that growth say about what is ahead for this organization?
I want to add that while those are the official Abide and Love affiliated chapters, there are other organizations that were clearly inspired by Abide and Love that have done similar things, but just not directly affiliated with them. So I think that what it shows is that there is a noted need for people to come together to help ICE detainees, and that while the match was lit in Rolla, it has spread and it will keep spreading as long as that need is there.
As someone who lives in Rolla, has lived there for some time, mm-hmm. is there something about Abide and Love and the work that they're doing, the community that has come together, that feels very much Rolla?
I think that Rolla is definitely a very special place, and all of these people who live in Rolla and Phelps County live in that community, and they know each other through going to church together, being in social activities, working together. And I think that's really important, and it's wonderful. I can't say that their opinion about whether, you know, ICE detainment should happen, it's not necessarily universally held, mm-hmm. but what is definitely a very widely held thing there is that caring for people who need help is important. And that's something that Abide and Love was founded on, and something that they practice and they walk the walk.
Mm-hmm. Jonathan All is newscast editor for St. Louis Public Radio and our Rolla correspondent. Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us today to share what you have been reporting about.
My absolute pleasure.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.